I mean, a SPAC, D, is basically just, that would be like us telling one of our clients, hey, I know a private equity firm. These guys are brilliant. They're geniuses. They're opening a new fund and they're looking to raise capital. I think you should allocate 500 grand of your portfolio to this strategy. Okay, well, what's it invest in? We have no idea yet. We don't know yet.
Right.
Like, we just know these guys are awesome at what they do. They've got a great track record and you just need to give them your money. And once they have the money, then they're going to go and buy a tool and die shop, a nuts and bolts manufacturing company, right? Mm-hmm. Then they go and they buy the private companies. This seems to me like a way for the little investor who's not accredited, who's not a qualified purchaser, to kind of play that game. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. You got Mark and D.
Mark, what's up, man?
What's up, brother?
It's living it.
Yeah. Christmas is coming. It's close. It's crunch time.
Yep. Got to get some online orders in.
Yeah, exactly. It's about that time. All right, man. So today we're going to talk about SPACs.
Yep.
Because I really had no idea what they were until very recently.
I'll be honest with you. I did not really know either, but I found it very interesting for research for the show.
So we're going to call this SPAC Attack. Now,
nice.
Do you remember the name of the band from Saved by the Bell?
Zach Attack.
Do you know they're doing a reboot of Saved by the Bell?
I did know that.
Zach's in there. I saw AC Slater.
Kelly Kapowski's there too.
Yeah.
She was the hard one to get.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because she does so much Lifetime movies. What does she do? She has a real career.
She was never back for any of the reunion shows and stuff like that.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't think Screech is in it. The new one.
Well, he ventured off into a different kind of video.
But yeah. If you want to do a pod on...
Slater's got to be the most successful.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a lot of like, you know, he hosts shows and stuff like that. Now, what is it? Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Mm-hmm.
Zach? He's done a few shows. They haven't had long runways. Mm-hmm. A season or two and they fold.
Right.
And he did that movie, the college movie. Do you remember that?
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Where he had brown hair all of a sudden. Yeah. I was freaked out, dude.
Well, that's his normal hair color.
Yeah, obviously. Right? All right. So away from Zach Attack into SPAC Attack, all right? SPACs, what are they? Because people are talking about them, and I think it is important for people to understand what they are and what they aren't so that you understand the potential, but you also understand the risk.
Right. So yeah, I think it's a great topic because, like you said, a lot of people don't really know about it or how it works or, you know, bottom line for this show, how it affects their investments eventually.
Yep.
So basically, you know, really what it is, it's a alternate way to take your company public.
Yep.
So, you know, really what I've seen here from my research, if you're a private company and you want to go public, it's a very long and arduous runway to do that.
Yeah.
That's why there's always so many people involved and, you know, so many people involved with their hands out trying to get paid on the deal along the way. But ultimately what you have with an IPO is you put it out at an IPO price. And you know what we've seen from last year or two specifically is when that IPO price comes, typically you see a big upside swing to that stock.
Yep.
So, you know, I think our last show was on some of those top IPOs for 2020 and 2021. DoorDash was in there and they opened, I believe, at $102, and they'll probably be publicly traded by the time the show is aired. But right away, it came out of 102 and they're already saying it's going to open like 145 or 150. So that is what people are calling, you know, money left on the table, right?
Yeah.
So the SPAC process isn't without its limitations, but at the same point in time, the main point of raising capital this way is to control the share price a little better. And the second reason is to hopefully avoid market volatility, right? So if your IPO comes out March 15th, right? SPAC dab at the beginning of the pandemic, the market's crashing.
Did you say SPAC dab?
If
you did, that was good. If you said SPAC dab, that was great. I don't know how you worked that in, but that was amazing.
I was
Freudian slip.
Yeah, I guess I've been hanging out with Tony too much, changing too many words.
It fits. It fits the show perfectly. So Look, I mean, here's my take on SPACs, right? So Chamath Palihapitiya, he's like one of the big ringleaders, cheerleaders, whatever you want to call them, as it relates to these SPACs. If you are rolling out a SPAC, here's what you're telling people. I want to be a billionaire, but I don't have a good idea. Right?
Yep.
While you were talking, I wanted to pull up Chamath's Twitter feed. And here's what I got. I'm looking for any company, any sector with a market cap greater than 200 million, but less than 1.5 billion. Good free cash flow and EBITDA and no debt that you can think predictably stay flat or grow modestly over the next 5 to 10 years. He has no good idea.
No
he
problem.
Wants somebody else to give him a good idea. So that is my take on SPACs. You get a guy like Chamath, who knows that he wants a billion-dollar IPO or a $10 billion IPO, but he doesn't have a good idea for a company. So the basic gist is you've got these shell companies, which IPO, money flows into them. They get their $1 billion or whatever it is. Investors are blindly placing their confidence in the guy running the SPAC,
right,
that he's going to hit a home run. They have no idea exactly how he's going to spend the money yet. So that to me is like kind of risky.
For sure. I had a separate article here that I can no longer find, but the people who are setting up the SPACs,
yeah,
they're going to get paid no matter
what. They make the money.
They're going to get paid no matter what. And I can't find it now. Hopefully I'll find it. I did find the name of that movie. Actually, it just came to me. It's Dead Man on Campus with Zach Morris.
It was all right.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I just love to see the return of Zach Morris.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he was gone for like a decade before he made his comeback.
You know, I watched the college years too. They weren't very good, but I still watched them.
Yeah, not good.
So yeah, you know, that is really the gist of it, I think, is that the people setting these things up are going to get paid no matter
what. They get paid.
So, but they can lead to more targeted prices. And there's been some success stories lately, which is why we're talking about it now, because I think it's going to continue moving forward.
I mean, a SPAC, D, is basically just, that would be like us telling one of our clients, who I believe you got to be a qualified purchaser to invest in private equity funds. Mm-hmm. So that's 5 million plus, right? So if you're a qualified purchaser, that'd be like us saying, hey, I know a private equity firm. These guys are brilliant. They're geniuses. They're opening a new fund and they're looking to raise capital. I think you should allocate 500 grand of your portfolio to this strategy. Okay, well, what's it invest in? We have no idea yet. We don't know yet.
Right.
Like, we just know these guys are awesome at what they do. They've got a great track record and you just need to give them your money. And once they have the money, then they're going to go and buy a tool and die shop, a nuts and bolts manufacturing company, right? Mm-hmm. Then they go and they buy the private companies. This seems to me like a way for the little investor who's not accredited, who's not a qualified purchaser, to kind of play that game.
Right.
Right? Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. That was exactly one of the thoughts that I had for sure.
Which can be dangerous. There's a reason private equity funds are only available to either accredited or qualified purchasers, because they have the ability to lose money and they're considered to be more savvy as it relates to non-traditional investments.
Right.
The Robinhood trader with $1,000 in his or her account has always been excluded from that, probably for good reason.
No doubt. Yeah, for sure.
You know,
even with, you know, a retirement, a millionaire next door, you got $1 million that's going to get you through retirement. You don't want to be putting 250 grand of that into something that you don't know if and when it's going to pay off.
Yeah.
It could, and it could be great, but it's also very dangerous. And that's why those rules are in place.
So let's talk about a few of the recent SPACs. So DraftKings, I love that stock. That's one that I own. I think I prefer Penn National over it. And I know we've talked about Penn National. Actually, I think we did a show on DraftKings and Penn National.
Yep. Right?
So DraftKings, cool company. The stock was on fire until they decided to make an additional stock offering at below the current price.
Yeah, that's never good.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea.
Why'd you do that? It's not a very smart move. So obviously investors at that point start to think like, man, this thing's way overvalued. I'm going to back off. Mm-hmm. But we were just talking before the show. That was like Golden Eagle or something. I don't know what it was called.
Right.
That was the SPAC.
That was the SPAC, right? So what happens is the SPAC, the company that raises all the money, merges with the real company, you know, DraftKings in this case. And that is the company that goes public, basically. So it's becoming much more popular. So far in 2020, 80 SPACs have raised capital through IPOs, average size of $400 million. And then there's additional 24 in process for another $6 billion. So that total right there is already more than 16, 17, 18, and 19 combined. So
it's the hot thing to do.
It is. Yep.
Yeah. Everybody wants to make money that way, right?
Yep. There's obviously benefits, which we just outlined. But I keep coming back to, hey, it's just another way for these investment bankers, big accounting firms, these type of people to make money.
Yep, exactly. So kind of my final thoughts on this, D, just to recap what I already said. If you are a smaller investor, and when I say smaller, that's not necessarily small, but if you're not accredited, so an accredited investor has $1 million. I think it's $1 million net worth, excluding your primary residence. So let's just say anyone below $1 million. If you would not invest your money in a private equity fund, then I think you should stay away from SPACs.
Yep.
They're basically the same thing. One is just easier to get into with your Robinhood account.
Right.
The other one, there's like rules and you can't get into it. Mm-hmm. If you would not invest in a private equity fund, you probably should not be buying a SPAC.
Right.
Just because people are talking about them because they're the cool thing doesn't mean you should own them. Now, they can be profitable. I mean, DraftKings has done very well.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Virgin Galactic mm-hmm. has done very well. I mean, they do a whole whopping, you know, $1.9 million a year in revenue.
Yep.
Actually, I'm sorry, 0.9. They didn't even do $1 million this year.
Right.
Under $1 million. And they're worth like, what, $8 billion?
Yep. Are you taking a flight to space when it's available?
No, I'm not, dude.
No, I don't think so.
No. They're $250,000 to $300,000. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Virgin Galactic theme, or thesis, I should say, is that anyone with a net worth of $5 million and above is part of their total addressable market.
Right.
Dude, we have a lot of clients that are in that $5 to $10 million range. Mm-hmm. Do you think any of them would take $250,000 out of their portfolio to fly to outer space on a flying saucer?
No, not one.
Not one of them.
Yep.
So my opinion on Virgin Galactic is the real total addressable market has to be at least $10 million and above. And then you just got to be kind of a strange bird.
I mean, I don't even like taking off on an airplane.
Yeah, they're being on a flight is the most boring thing in the world to me. I'm going to fly into outer space. Like, how long's the flight?
I don't even know.
You're in space for 10 minutes.
It can't be that long,
though.
They
bring you back?
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, that's my final thought. You have any final thoughts on SPACs?
Yeah, so, you know, I think for our listeners, if you want to get into this, it's honestly a brand new ETF. It's SPAC, S-P-A-K. There is no SPAC, so I don't know why they called it SPAK, but that's what they did.
Well, we need to roll that out then. Right?
So it's an ETF, so it's unmanaged. So I hate that in this space, honestly. But for as far as I can tell, it's probably the best way to get into it right now.
Get some diversification that
you
way,
get
right?
some diversification, exactly. So like DraftKings is the biggest holding. But then a lot of the SPACs that haven't merged yet are still in there. So if you want to get into this space, that would be the way to do it. For probably a lot of people listening to this show, I'll pose a question to you. Do you think it would be more appropriate for them to be in something like this? Or if they want to get into more of a speculative space, like an ETF, like IPO?
Well, as we talked about on last week's show, the IPO ETF is up like over 100% this year.
Right.
I don't know what SPACs are going to do. DraftKings was on fire and then it just stalled. Virgin Galactic, I can't figure out stocks like that, that make no money, that are just have these sky high, pun intended, valuations, right? I can't figure them out. That just doesn't fit our investment strategy for us, right? We're growth at a reasonable price. And when a company does less revenues than we do and is worth $8 billion, it leads me to wonder, like, should I sell?
Right.
How do I get some of that $8 billion? So no, I wouldn't fly to outer space, and I really don't understand the valuation either. Right?
So yeah, you know, for me, it's kind of like a lot of other things that we talked about. This will be my final thought here. If you want to get into things like this, you know, just make it the appropriate portion of your portfolio.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we talked Bitcoin a couple weeks ago. We're both fans and I'd say bullish on Bitcoin right now, but that doesn't mean it needs to be 50% of your portfolio, you know?
Right. Be reasonable.
Get the right allocation. Position like SPAC or IPO, make it an appropriate position in your portfolio. I think it does actually offer a little bit of diversification from, you know, just the S&P 500. So,
yeah, and it's a growth play.
Yep.
Everyone should have a few home run swings in their portfolio.
No doubt.
Keep them reasonable. If you own 50 stocks, you don't need 40 home run swings.
Right.
Like if you own 50 stocks, maybe three home run swings that mm-hmm. could end up being a strikeout. So I agree with you. I think as long as you keep it reasonable, you should be good to go. All right. That wraps up today's show. As always, thanks for joining us. Shoot us emails with comments, questions to info@swpconnect.com. If you write a 5-star review for us, let us know. We'll send you some swag. And if you haven't yet, make sure you hit the subscribe button because you know these shows are awesome. They're amazing.
Yeah, and we keep rolling them out, man.
Yeah, we keep pumping them out. And we need you guys to subscribe so that you can make sure that you're getting this awesome information every single week.
No doubt.
Right? All right, everyone. Thanks. I believe this is being published right before Christmas. So have a Merry Christmas. And we'll talk to you after the holidays. Hey, it's Mark. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Look, if you wouldn't mind, please go to your podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you use, and give us a 5-star rating and review. You know, the best way for us to continue to educate and enlighten every single one of you is for more and more people to know about us, and your review would help us with that. Also, we've had quite a few listeners reach out to us lately asking about financial planning. So we've decided to offer a special to every single one of our listeners. It's a $495 comprehensive financial plan, no strings attached. You don't have to move your investments under our management. We're not going to use the plan as a gimmick to sell you a product. There's absolutely no hidden agenda and no further obligation on your part. You just get great conflict-free advice from us. And all you have to do is visit your495plan.com. That's your495plan.com. Fill out your info. One of our certified financial planners will reach out and begin to build out your plan. Visit your495plan.com today.